Hello and welcome back to another Let's Backflip Show Happy Hour podcast. I'm Ryan Fring, co-creative director here at Backflip. And this is a fun one. We're hanging out with Tyler Kotikas. And at the time, he was actually our editing production intern. He was finishing up his last year of school at the UW-Madison, where John and I went. And the bio I have is like, we'll see if he has what it takes. But this will be fun because maybe we can do another live one soon where we have him, because now he works full-time with us as an editor and production specialist. You know, we always make people help out with production, so he gets to travel and help out on occasion. But it'd be interesting to compare his experience. I'm really excited to listen to this one again, his experience when he was in school and what he was doing, and now that he's been in it for 6 months or something. I can't remember exactly, but this was filmed in February. Let's see. Oh, February. Okay. So it's been 8 months. So see how the intermeeting 8 months have gone. And if he's still going to stick around, it'll be fun. So this is that February interview. Grab your favorite libation. Do the things. You know, we mentioned them last episode. We'll check for more feedback and try to get more awesome content. And again, if you're listening to this right when it comes out next Friday, October 21st, we actually have Laura Gallagher coming on, and it's going to be awesome. She's a principal at the creative company. She's the founder, and she's kicking butt and taking names. She's named Businesswoman of the Year by In Business or some awesome local magazine. So we're going to hear all about that and all the good things she's got going. So tune in for that. That'll be live. And without further ado, this is episode 80 with Tyler Kotikas. Hello and welcome back to another Backflip Happy Hour. I'm Ryan Frank, co-creative director here at Backflip. Don't cancel us, Spotify. We're not going to talk about anything crazy. We're going to talk about everything crazy. Joining me as always is John Shoemaker. Say hey, John.
Hey, John. Don't even get me started.
Don't even get you started. I'm going to bring the doctors on. I don't care how many patents you have or degrees, you're canceled. It doesn't matter. You're canceled. It smells like fireworks in here. We're doing a commercial next week where we have these smoke bombs, and they burn a chemical and creates colored smoke, and it's amazing.
Whoever's jumping on the stream today is like, what did I get myself into?
What is going on? And it smells so bad. It made me nauseous earlier. If it makes me nauseous, I'll let you know. I'll give you the symbol, and then I'll go puke somewhere else. So this is a happy hour. What are you drinking today, John? We just had lunch to celebrate this next person, as well as Max's birthday. But are you drinking more now?
I have two options. Okay, I grabbed the Midwestie.
Nice.
Midwestie Pills for
often designed by the wonderful Hannah Hess.
That is correct. And then just in case, the healthy alternative to beer, got a blood orange hop water sitting here.
I tell you what, it's got the nootropics. It's so good.
Yeah.
Adaptogens. I don't know what the hell it is. It sounds like you're winning at a video game because you've got these. Yeah, so that's what I'm drinking too. I've got the hop water. It's great. It's a great little zero calorie, like hoppy fun drink, because we just went to lunch and I had some drinks and now I want to not have drinks. So that's how this happy hour is going. So we've got Tyler with us today. I'm going to bring Tyler on. Here he is. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, guys.
Yo, we can hear you. That's great. We all just got back from lunch.
I had wonderful Pooley's, no less.
Yeah. Had you been to Pooley's before?
No, but I was telling Scott, I'm telling all my friends to go. That place is awesome.
Oh, it's so like kitschy and all the paraphernalia. It's so fun. Like, there was no one there when we got there, which is also part of, I'm so amazed that they're still open, but I think they do a killing in the evenings, and they do special, they have bands on the weekend, which is really fun.
I'm definitely going.
Yeah, they actually, through COVID, they created a great patio where you can go outside and the band plays. It's really,
and you said there's beach volleyball too, right?
I don't know if it's beach, but they do have
volleyball. It's court, yeah. Court volleyball inside.
That's not too bad.
Did you grab anything to drink? Do you have anything fun? Water's okay.
I have an Arizona iced tea.
Ooh, there it is. I haven't had one of those. Are those good?
I like them a lot. I'm the big fan of they have a green tea one, which is amazing.
Nice.
I'll
have to try that.
Giant ones, yeah.
Huge yeah. can that you can get for like under a dollar.
Yeah, the 99 cents.
That's how you know it's quality.
Like too much. It's too much.
Yeah, cool. So we've got Tyler Korticas, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Tyler Korticas joining us today. Because I keep spelling it because I have to keep writing it out when I'm like adding you to software and things. Mm-hmm. Joining us today, you're a recent hire intern for production and editing and kind of everything. Like at a small business, we do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And you're still in school. So yes. So welcome and thanks for coming and hanging.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So give us a little bit more about your backstory. I think I might have shook your hand when you interviewed with Scott or Scott and John or whatever. Like that was all I knew until they were like, "Hey, Scott or Tyler's awesome. Yeah, he's gonna come start working with us." So that's about all I know about you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I'm in my last year at school right now. I grew up in Connecticut, which was awesome. I love that. But my family lives in Colorado now. So I wish I grew up there because I fit in way better there. started making videos in high school and then just trying to be funny. And then I very quickly just fell in love with actually making them. So just kind of kept sticking with that. And then I went to school and then started doing a film there and film production. And now I'm here in a beautiful, cold Madison, Wisconsin.
So cold right now. What was your first film? Or what was the first like thing you created?
First things I did, I was making funny songs, basically, like videos of funny songs. But
oh, nice, like Weird Al.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't really think they were that funny in the end. And then I started writing like skits on my Instagram and stuff, which was. And then it just became a whole production.
Talk more about that. So like when I was up and coming, we had VHS cameras, which was nice. Cause like we actually could get our hands on cameras, but then you're reel to reel editing. And then when you have a VHS, you have to have a VHS player to show somebody. So you couldn't show many people, but you said you were creating Instagram stuff on Instagram.
Right.
What were you doing? What was that like?
A reason I'm into film is because both my parents met at photography school at Tisch. So that's been really great because A, they know a lot about, just the fundamentals and, you know, lighting, and also they have a ton of camera equipment all over the place. So I was using my mom's, I don't know the model, but it was one of my mom's old Nikons with video. And then just using the in-camera microphone for that. And then I was doing just iMovie for a while, too long. Mm-hmm. And then begged my dad for Final Cut, which I'm starting to evolve out of, but I still use it a lot because I just know it so well.
Oh, yeah. Like, what was it? Final Cut, was it 8? What was the last version?
It's 10 right now.
What?
It's Final Cut 10 right now.
No. Final Cut X is like iMovie Pro.
Yes, Final Cut.
But I guess we're So that's a generational gap. That's a generational gap that we have because editors were on Final Cut, and maybe it was 7.
It was
7
right
or 8.
Right around 7 that they.
And then they stopped making new versions, and that's where they stopped. And Premiere wasn't good enough yet, and Avid you still had to have the whole system. So Final Cut was the software that everyone used. But it wasn't X yet. an ex kind of rubbed the industry the wrong way because it had just a different paradigm of editing, which I think is great because then it got more people into editing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is more important than doing things the way that we have been. But I know a lot of people jump ship or are still on 7. Somebody who's on, maybe fact check that for me. I can do that in a minute, but yeah, I think it's 7, Final Cut 7. We have a version, we have an earlier version too. Somebody pulled that out the other day. It comes in like a big box and tons of CDs. And
oh, really?
Great. I feel like you'd have to be fighting back against the establishment pretty hard to still be on 7. Like you're not getting any software support. You probably, you know, got things that are like breaking left and right mm-hmm. in your program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Funny enough, the Final Cut XML, you know, sidecar file has sort of like maintained, you know, stayed around. It's still in existence as a way to like transfer data from one software system mm-hmm. to another software system. You can still export Final Cut from like other software.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Like, and I'm like, because we've been doing, I've been doing Premiere and Resolve, and it's like that's always an option. So it's, I mean, it's good.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you guys actually use at school these days? Because you're at University of Wisconsin Madison.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So they have the Adobe Suite, which we've been using pretty much for everything. But we do Resolve. I took an editing class last semester, which I didn't think, you know, I edit all the time, so I was like, oh, I'm not going to learn anything. But I actually, you know, it was a really good experience. Boring class, but it was fun. It was just the teacher made it boring, but it was, and then but there was a color grading unit that we did Resolve. So it was good because it was, you know, it taught everyone how to round trip to and from Premiere and Resolve. So, you know, I had no idea about XMLs and stuff. So that was a good experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we were doing that for a little while, but we would have these updates. So Premiere updates frequently and you update it and then it stops working or it stops working with the project that you had mm-hmm. and you have to upgrade. And we were just having problems with Premiere because we were a Premiere shop for a long time because Premiere actually was affordable as a small company and allowed us to get into the editing space. And it got to a point where studios could use it for movies and TV. So we're like, hey, that should be more than what we need. But it then continued that kind of robust trend and just got too much junk in there and just doesn't run efficiently these days for us. So we were using, what was that program too, John? Or actually, Tyler, you may know this as well. The grading software that Premiere had.
Speedgrade.
Did they end of life it already?
I think so.
I've never heard.
Taken over a color. Yeah, they had taken over a color suite from another company called Speedgrade. And then they just kind of slapped the Adobe logo on it, but they never really like
tied the integration. Right. It wasn't great. Yeah.
So what about did you guys switch over completely to Resolve?
So when or why?
Well, I guess both, but when was what I was asking.
Oh, it was through COVID, right? Did we do it before COVID?
It I don't know. It's a blur. It's all a blur in there. But
yeah, and you and I aren't the primary editors, so we only do stuff ancillarily, and we
so
still Adobe, jump into Adobe and DaVinci.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is going to be a challenge with any software that exists in the world. Is Adobe took over because Final Cut was older and built on an older system, and you know, like just the older
it wasn't advancing. Yeah, it wasn't older, advancing.
Older a piece of software gets, the more little things are running in the background. I mean, it's just been updated and updated on top of itself. And so, and then Apple made a business decision that actually makes sense from a business standpoint, but industry folks were upset and bailed on it. And so Adobe kind of took over the market share, but now Adobe's got the same problem. They've got such a big old piece of software built on an infrastructure that is old And so they've patched a lot of things, but you just have things that come up. Like you have weird errors that show up. It freezes up. There's problems. And like, I'm not a software developer, but I can understand it intellectually, the issue of just like this thing was built in a different time. And so we were using Resolve for color correction anyway, having to do that round trip that you described, Tyler, that you learned in school. And it was like, can we smooth this out? Can we just Resolve added an editing, you know, feature and then started making that more robust? And when we switched over to it, we were like, wow, this is really smooth. It does not crash. It works really well. It works well with high quality footage, with raw footage, you know. And then you're never wanting to be destructive in your editing. And the process, if we shot in raw, we would have to go through Resolve and then export those as some intermediary file to use in Premiere. And then you color on top of that, or maybe you edit the intermediary and then you send it back to Resolve and then you color there again. Like, just kind of a mess. And it was like, well, it'd be great to just edit on the raw files, apply a LUT in your color correction,
right?
You know, and then you're always working with the source material. So that was part of the reason. It was just like, this is a seamless workflow all the way through.
Right. And the good thing about Resolve too is, I mean, there's the free version, which is like incredible.
Yes. Yeah.
You can do so much with that. But yeah, I mean, I started using it because as a like graduation present, I got a Blackmagic Pocket Cinema 4K camera.
Oh, and, nice.
That came with the studio. It came with the Resolve license. So I just started using it a bit there. So to kind of like, you know, when I was sick of Final Cut, I would switch over to that. And now that I know it better, I love it.
Yeah, well, and there's just that nice integration with color. So we would use Premiere and then we would try to do color, and the Premiere color wasn't super great. Mm-hmm. So then we jump back into, I've already forgotten the name, whatever the Premiere or Adobe system was. SpeedGrade. Yeah, thank you. And that round tripping wasn't even great. And like John was saying with the proxies, it was so rough, and it was all the same company, but it was very rough. And DaVinci kind of came out of nowhere. People in the industry knew and had been using Resolve, but Blackmagic just kept buying up these other companies, these software companies, and then combining it all in a great way in the film industry kind of world. And we stumbled upon it because we had a camera, so we had a license, and started using it for color. And I was just like, they keep increasing the functionality in their edits. Let's jump over. You know, they're advertising hard all these movies that get edited in here. Let's just do that instead of the workflow that we have that's not working. So, yeah, we switch over to that. And I think so far it's working. We have trouble here and there because software is software. But we love it. And have you gotten into that yet? What are you, because you've done some radio cuts of some things. Are you in Resolve or are you in something else?
Yeah, we were doing that in Resolve. Cause I mean, yeah, it wasn't the most, you know, like high tech editing. I mean, it was just kind of cutting and moving. So, you know, the Resolve editor was great for that.
Yeah, sure. We'll get you some more difficult stuff at some point, get you into color too. We just got a color panel to grade with, to make it a little bit smoother. So, all right, I got some more questions for you too, because again, I don't know a ton about you. So your family is now in Colorado. You're kind of a Colorado person. You mentioned you started doing, or your personality is more Colorado than where you grew up. You mentioned you started doing film in or video making in high school. What about it got you into it? Like what? You know, what was interesting to you?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like everything, but as I said, like I started just trying to be, you know, funny, and then I would just spend time like writing a lot. And one of the great things is one of my best friends in high school was kind of doing the same thing. And but me and him had met about, we all met probably junior year or something. So I'd already kind of started making videos, and then I met him and he had already been making videos on his own. And then, so just kind of having that, and then, you know, he's probably the funniest guy I know. So we would just kind of sit there and, we would just kind of write stuff together and then, you know, help each other out. And just kind of, I don't know, we always, every time we make a video, we each send it to each other, kind of like a playful, it's kind of like a playful rivalry almost. but that was great. So I really liked writing and editing, and I kind of just wanted, I think the reason I like editing a lot is because I just like seeing it come together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now that I know a lot more, you know, it's nice, you know, it's nice having like these great shots that I can now put together better, you know, because mm-hmm. I, you know, you can only make the editing so cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and to a certain extent, and you'll see a lot more of this, when you get working on more editing here, the editors are writers, you know, that's a big part of what editors do. And they don't get a lot of credit for that in kind of mainstream film world. But here we try to give our editors, as you know, we try to show our appreciation for their writing, because we'll come up with a plan. A lot of it's done documentary. We'll come up with a plan for the story we want to tell. Then we'll capture a bunch of stuff, and then we hand it to them and say, okay, here's what we intended. Here's what we got. Go. Because we're not going to write a script on every documentary thing. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of writing that goes into that. So I think at the small level in production, writing really lends itself well in the edit space as well. And I think Jeff, who left, he kind of changed careers, our lead editor, to be a designer. He was, I think he'd probably say he's a writer. Like first he'd probably say he's a writer and then an editor down, you know, two or three, but he's a phenomenal editor as well. So it's so important to have that, as a part of it. Do you have any favorite writers, movie, television, whatever?
Right. I will say I've been watching, more and more David Fincher stuff. And I love him. Like I just watched The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo of a Break. And I was like that.
Sure.
I was like, that was a masterpiece. But that was kind of cool, because I had learned about that in my editing class, you know, well, you were kind of to your point about being a writer, you know, in your edits. We were watching interviews with the two editors who do David Fincher stuff. And it's just, you know, a lot of that is, you know, you have to make those creative choices, which I think is really cool.
And bear through somebody doing 70 takes of of something and then just choosing the first take. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fun. We had this in my class, we were doing this, they had given us this like student film that was filmed a couple of years ago to, you know, and everyone had to do their own editing version, you know, of the film. And it was just, the performances sucked because it was, you know,
oh no.
Yeah. It was a student film. It wasn't completely well made, but it was also just I would say that it was better made than the performances, you know? So
sure.
Just sitting through like all those takes was, you know, you just had to, you know, be creative and kind of change the script around how well they sold it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the takes just didn't, you know, they weren't emotionally impactful enough to like even kind of keep in.
Right. And I used to watch, like, I used to love watching behind the scenes, and one of my favorites was like Rush Hour, and just seeing all the fun that they had in the filmmaking. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds like so much fun. I want to do that. You know, along with like Lord of the Rings, was that early 2000s and all that content. But you get into it and yeah, it's like life. There's a lot of great stuff, but then there's also hard stuff. Like, hey, this actor never delivered what we needed to deliver. And so I have to come up with a solution for that, whether it's an editing solution, a VFX solution, a shooting solution. We got to come up with something to fix that. And it, you know, it all depends on, do we have the budget? Do we have the personnel? Do we have the content? Do we have whatever? You know, it's so much more complicated than it seems. However, the fun onset just energy is real, and that creativeness, I think, is what drew me in. And so I like that a lot. I like the collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you're able to experience some of that in school. You know, that's kind of the challenge of like, oh, go learn some stuff. Well, when you get out, then you're going to really learn how to do stuff. So, you know, try to get the value you can out of the school and figure out what the heck that is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've learned a lot from my classes, but I'd say, I mean, at least with the video stuff, all I've learned is just by churning stuff out. Like, I kind of always have one thing in the, like, one video I'm working on at one time. So it's like, I don't know, I'm in a fraternity, so I'm always, at least once a semester, I'll do like their rush videos or something. But those are, you know, it's what I like, again, about like making stuff is, you know, all these people get to see it, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we talked at one point, just in some, maybe it was a lunch conversation or something. It was like, what kind of film do you like making most? And it occurred to me that, like, oh yeah, you know, I'm very interested and I want to pursue some narrative fiction project, but I actually really, really do like documentary. And that even more comes down to, like, the editor needs to have some writing chops. Like, obviously there are writers involved on like big documentaries, but we even had a project, you know, a pretty big project that involved the writer for a documentary. And we ended up having to rewrite a lot of pieces because, you know, you take the text transcript,
right,
of what people said, and, you know, you start putting that together and suddenly find, oh, their energy between these two different speakers is so different that it, mm-hmm. it doesn't like mesh that well. And I, even though what they're saying kind of would work together, I actually need the energy level. So I need to like tie it together in a different way. And maybe I'll use this moment or maybe where they came down in energy, and then I can transition from there into this other speaker and stuff. So I really like, it's really fun doing documentary, in my opinion. And also is like one of the areas where you really need writers in the edit suite, to both feel out the editor's job of like, pacing, emotion, energy, but then also to say, okay, it's got to be in service of this story. So how do we get there, knowing what we got from the interviews or from the footage?
Right. Yeah. And so one of my most recent projects, which took me, I filmed it in the summer, and then I think that's kind of where I had come from when we talked about me liking documentaries, because I had filmed this whole documentary about like local Madison musicians as kind of a personal challenge. And so I went out and I knew one of them, and he hooked me up with two other musicians. And I just asked him a bunch of questions because I knew I kind of wanted to make a documentary, but I didn't know exactly what I wanted it to be about. So I just kind of went out and I asked them all like the same questions, and each interview was like 15, 20 minutes long. And then I had all this footage and I sat on it for, you know, weeks, months. I watched them and I was like, all right, well, what do I want this to be about now? Like, and so, you know, as time went on, I kind of narrowed down, all right, you know, now I know what the main message is. Now I have to cut this down to, I didn't want it to be longer than 10 minutes. I think it was 7 minutes in the end. So, but just trying to like peel through that, it was all writing, just kind of with what I had, which I really enjoyed because it gave me kind of that personal freedom, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what kind of brought you to Madison? So you grew up in Colorado. Why Madison? And did you start in film school or did you start somewhere else?
No. So I grew up in Connecticut. I just moved.
Oh, okay. They just moved to Colorado.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we moved in like my freshman year. So I had applied to a whole range of schools because I didn't really know what I quite want. I kind of had this idea in the back of my mind that, all right, I'm going to do film stuff. I applied to a whole range of schools and it was kind of all over the place because in high school I was a huge rower, like boats. and that was my whole life back then. You know, I'd do videos on the weekends, but you know, I was rowing about, I don't know, we had practice 3 hours a day, 6 days a week, and then I would go home and do some more.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah, best shape of my life. So I had applied and I kind of knew I didn't want to row in college, I was kind of entertaining the idea. So I kind of applied to a bunch of schools where if I wanted to, I could walk on. But that's ultimately why I didn't. But ultimately, I didn't want to get recruited because I didn't really reach out to many coaches because I knew I wanted, I didn't want to be tied in, you know. I didn't want to have to row if I didn't want to. So I applied all over the place to basically have the option of if I wanted to walk on, I could. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin was one of those that had a great D1 team and they're great with walk-ons. And then by the time all the college decisions came back, it was between UConn, University of Connecticut, Syracuse, mm-hmm. and Wisconsin. And so I didn't want to go to UConn and it was just a choice between Wisconsin and Syracuse. They're both super cold. And so it was kind of just a question of what I liked more. I have some family in Middleton, which definitely helped my decision.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because I would go there a lot freshman year, you know, on the weekends, just, you know, get a hot meal and talk to someone who wasn't my age. And then, you know, I just kind of visited and I knew a couple people here who all recommended it. And it was just, we toured Syracuse and I was on the car ride home. It just didn't feel right. You know, I was like, I think I know where I want to go. And yeah, so I chose Wisconsin and I don't regret a thing. I think this is I think it's one of the best colleges I could have gone to. So.
Nice. Yeah. So, and were you, what about the film program? Like, did you get into the film program right away? Start in something else?
Yeah. I mean, so the film program is just through this College of Letters and Sciences. So
right.
Just kind of take the classes if you want to. I don't think it's definitely not the most rigorous or, you know, elegant of programs, but, I took like a kind of wide range of classes my freshman year. And then I just liked my film classes. So I was like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. So I'm doing that. And then I minored in computer science because that's what my dad went to grad school after photography school for coding. That's what he does.
Nice.
So I did that because, you know, I thought that'd be helpful and he could help me with it. And then I also minored in French because my mom speaks French. So.
How far did you get in the comp sci?
I mean, yeah, I completed the minor, nothing further. I do really like programming. It's like I coded my whole website like from scratch, which was great. But it's just, I don't think it's for me. It's just, it's frustrating.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a whole different mind space, right. From filmmaking to a certain degree. There's still creative problem solving, but it's on a different scale. When you're creative problem solving with code, what you're often doing is searching and reading and looking and testing and experimenting. When you're creative problem solving in film, you're making phone calls, you're testing things out, you're sharing things with other people. Right. Like, it's just such a more people focused, collaborative kind of version of that. Cause I'm 3 credits away from a comp sci major or whatever.
Oh, wow.
because that's what I started off as. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I'm really going to do film. But I kept doing the comp sci stuff because I really enjoyed it as well. And I hit one class that was integrated system something. It was chip and hardware design. It was fascinating and sometimes fun, but it was like Friday on a 8 a.m. And mm-hmm. that didn't jive well for college me. So yeah, I didn't end up finishing off on something, which is kind of dumb, but
yeah,
that is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you could always go back and do it.
I'm just a few credits short of a biology major. So
wow.
I've got a year of organic chemistry that counts as electives in my
How was that, OCHEM?
Yeah, I was going, well, I know I started going for, I was pre-med, mm-hmm. thought, well, I'll major in biology or something, and then I'll, you know, go apply to med school. But I had been doing the same thing like you, you know, I'd been making videos all along, made them in high school and continue making them, mm-hmm. but I just didn't perceive that there was an option for me to do it as a career. Mm-hmm. And then when I started getting into, I was doing it, you know, for fun, for groups that I was a part of, and then taking some classes, just like, well, I'll check out some of these classes. And then it was like, oh yeah, there's a whole industry here. There's a lot of stuff. Like, so I made that change, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons I kind of wanted to go into this is because, especially now, like, I mean, media is a constant. It's being, honestly, like, shoved down your throat all day. Mm-hmm. Right. So I was like, I think there'll definitely be jobs in the area for that. So
mm-hmm.
I was like, I wasn't too worried about that.
Well, now there's a democratization of it, so we can spin up our company here and do really cool, unique work and not be in New York or Hollywood or right. wherever. I kind of want to go to Atlanta though and just be able to have that experience and get those tax credits and try to do a creative project down there. But that, I mean, that kind of gets to my next question. Like what do you want to do? Did I hear that you're thinking about LA? Like that's kind of what you want to do, or what do you want to do?
That is a good question. I mean, yeah, I've thought about LA, but I don't know if I'd really love it after a while. But I really want to make music videos.
Mm.
That's my dream. Like, I think that's my favorite thing. It's just editing to a song. And I, you know, when I go home, if you guys ever want YouTube recommendations, I have them on lock. So yeah, that's, and I made a music video for a friend of mine where I it was like kind of half live shots, half animation. And that was just like, I like dove into that project. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I want to do more of, I think. But as to where that is, it'll probably be in California, but that's,
sure.
I got time to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll have to get you involved. Where have you been? You got all these music video projects where you're talking about.
Right now. We now have two music video projects that we're working on, and people always contact us, but it's like, hey, what can we do for $200? I'm like, well, it's hard to have a company and do something. Yeah. So now we're just like, hey, you know, we have one client that can pay, and then another client that we're like, well, this is, if we can control the creative and we can do whatever the heck we want, mm-hmm. we'll take it on for lower cost than normal. So,
right.
We have two, so we'll have to get you involved.
Oh, awesome. I'd love that.
In those. Yeah. Yeah. One is weird. So Max, we were talking about it. Max, like, I've always had this idea about this guy with a planting pot for a head, you know, flowers in it. Right. And that was about the basis of the idea. And now we've spun out this whole idea, this whole concept for this music video that I think is awesome. We'll share more with you offline, but
that's awesome.
Just a random thing out of Max's head that now we've turned into, hey, this is a viable project we're doing with somebody.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I mean, I love music videos because they can, I mean, some of them are just so random, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think the blending of like, you know, just shots with music. And I think that's just inherently like, I think that's amazing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, for me, I think honestly, if I hadn't connected with John, if I hadn't met my future wife, I probably would have tried LA. I have friends out there who've been out there, who've stayed long enough, you know, the 7 to 10 years, and now they're doing really great stuff.
Right.
A lot of hard stuff, and they're very different, you know, 35, 40 year olds, and they're just thinking about family now that they have like a stable career. And
right.
How old am I? John and I are like 36 and 37. We each have a boatload of kids and things. So it's just different paths that we were on. But
right.
had I not been going down this path, I definitely was considering that path as well. So
how did you guys meet?
How did we meet? We should figure out like the first time that we met.
Well, I was waiting for a bus and he was shining shoes. And
that's true. Yeah.
Wow.
The age old tale.
That's one of those stories about, you know, from college. We were, I'm pretty sure it was at St. Paul's. So we were both involved in like large group student event that happens once a month. There's a speaker, there's music, there's games and whatever. And I was like in the band, and Ryan was part of the team that kind of like ran the program and like did the intros and stuff. And then I'm pretty sure that's where we met. And probably the first stuff that we talked about together was like, hey, they want to do a video to like, you know, kind of as like a, you know, kickoff for the night.
Hype thing or yeah.
Some topic or whatever. And so it would, and then we would just like make these goofy, whatever the heck we wanted videos. We did a spoof of
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, the Are You Afraid of the Dark? Are you aware of this old Nickelodeon show?
I'm not.
It's I'm sure it's before your time. It was just like, it's kind of like, well, do you know Goosebumps? Everybody knows that. But okay. Mm-hmm. So it was just like kids show telling like ghost stories, and you know, we started with them around this campfire telling a story, and then we go into like the episode. Well, we spoofed it. We went out to Picnic Point with like some students.
Right.
Started out with the campfire thing, and then we spoofed it and called it Are You Afraid of the Light? Ooh, hey, pretty, so did some goofy videos there. And then, you know, some other friends and Ryan and I joined up on like, oh, there's a contest, like, you know, make a music video for this band, or here's a contest for this product. It's like, it's really funny thinking about it. This is like way back in the heyday of, this is like the beginning of YouTube. And like, I think some of those first contests we did weren't even on YouTube because it was barely a thing or not a thing. They were
You had to like upload them to servers.
They were MySpace contests or, you know, whatever. And we did some of those, and we won some of them. They weren't great videos, but they were good enough to like win the contest. Like we won a contest for BlackBerry for this blackjack phone thing, and we like won some money. And then we did one for like, or maybe we won the laptop from that one. And then we did one for Pizza Hut for Pizza Bites. And we won. We won free pizza for a year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Turns out that's free pizza for a year. What do you think that means? That means you're eating for free, right? No. Yeah. Turns out it means one pizza every 2 weeks. We're like, come on. We're in college.
Give us a year means
I don't have to pay for food anymore.
At least you get like every 2 weeks, like you get like a pizza night, you know?
Yep. And then and then,
you have to subscribe to Paramount Plus, by the way, to watch Are You Afraid of the Dark? But there is a new 2019 version.
Oh boy! Yeah. So we did some of these things. That was fun. And then somebody we knew through that, they were doing like this institute, like a teaching
conference.
Like a conference. And we're like, can you guys do an intro video for this conference? And we went all out. We did the iPod dancing green screen, you know, yeah. colored background with where you can just see the board, whatever. We did that kind of style and just knocked it out of the park. And everyone was like blown away. Like, holy crap, how did you guys do this? It was really mm-hmm. hard because we didn't really know what we were doing, but we're like, just figured it out. Mm-hmm. And then not long after that, somebody else was like, oh, hey, could you do a video for our conference? You know, we could probably mm-hmm. pay you $1,000, you know, and oh, so then we did that, and we bought we bought a used tripod with that money. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else was like, oh, could you do a thing for our, you know, thing? And started just figuring it out.
Right. And we should probably get a bank account.
And then we formed the business. We're like, well, you got to have somewhere to put it. And I mean, it was it's a long process, but we just kind of kept
chipping away. And now look at you guys.
And now look at us.
Chock full of toys in the studio.
Now we've got colored smoke cannons and, you know, everything you ever dreamed of as a child.
Fake walls.
Big fake studio walls. Actually, that'll be really fun to see next week. So you see they're kind of putting up the walls, but then how it transforms and then what it'll look like next Thursday on camera. It'll look, you know, like a factory, like we're in a factory. So that'll be cool. Yeah, we just had to figure out how to get that smoke out of there. I was just thinking too, this smoke really bothers me. So Hannah left because it bothered her so much. We're in the whole separate side of the studio. The air is not connected. It's just leaking through the ceiling maybe and the doors. I was thinking we need a big tube or piping or whatever and a fan. And as soon as that is coming out, and if we're not doing the big gag, we just suck that out the door because it's all not sync. You know, we don't need audio for any of that. So that might be the only way we survive next Thursday. I don't know.
But I got to move desk just because there's a charger over here.
Oh, nice. Yeah, let me know if that's not the right charger. I don't know if it's the older one or the newer one. Perfect.
Still well lit too.
Yeah, so what, in about 15 minutes, we'll hit up the Two Truths and a Lie game. But actually, John, what time are you leaving?
In about 15
minutes. You got to leave in 15 minutes. Okay. In 5 minutes, we'll hit up Two Truths and a Lie.
Sounds good.
But I want to, you know, it feels like we've been talking for 10 minutes. I like to try to dig deep. And we might not get there this time. We'll get there next time, though.
He's trying to make
it. What's something, I don't know. Why make films? Why do this? You know, why? Who cares? Is it useful? Is what you want to do useful? I don't know.
I mean, I do it because I love it. But there was one video I made, which I forgot I made it. You know, I always have these videos in the background, and I just, you know, sometimes I just forget that I made them or something. But there was this one video I made as I said, I used to row, and it was a huge part of my high school. And we have these big team banquets every year, once a year. And I was a captain my senior year, so the captains get to speak and everything. And so I gave this big speech, and I was in front of all the parents and everything. But none of the parents knew this, but all the seniors did. I interviewed all the seniors on the team, which was, they're probably it was a big team. So it was probably 15, 20 of us. Mm-hmm. So I went out and I, you know, interviewed all of us at different points, and just kind of asked them, you know, what their favorite moment was for, you know, the last 4 years, you know, their name, where they're going, just kind of one of those things. And then I put it all together, and then I sent it in. I kind of just took over there was a projector, and I just plugged it in. and we kind of just watched it, you know, and it was just like, it was a kind of funny video, you know, everyone, there was some jokes in there, but it was like, you know, everyone was watching it, you know, at the end you kind of look around and everyone, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, people still watch because it's like, you know, we're all a little younger. But like, you know, and all the parents came up to me and they were saying, you know, this is like, you know, thank you so much, you know, because it's just, it was one of those things that I made and it was, you know, it was easy enough for me to do. But, you know, I can watch that 1,000 times, you know, and I can see myself when I was younger and who I was. And we all have that, you know, and I think it was like a good time before everyone, you know, got older. But that's, you know, I can rewatch my videos and other videos I made with my friends. And it's like I'll just sometimes film when my friends are hanging out and then I'll, you know, put it with some music or something. And then I'll send it to them later and be like, you know, I'm like making this because it made me think of, you know, the good times we've had, you know what I mean? So I like that it's kind of a window into, like, it can be like a window into who you are.
Yeah, well said.
Storytelling.
Thank you.
Storytelling. Yes. Well, and like just bringing you back to a place that you were at, you know, at a period of time and sharing that experience in a new and different way. Yeah.
Right. And yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
It's entertaining too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
everyone likes to be entertained.
Well, and that's all these things are like, it may not surprise you. It may surprise you, but they're the things we tell people when they're like, hey, we want a boring video about a fan. They don't say boring, but the way they describe what they need is boring. And we say, hey, instead, let's do an action film where we feature all the features of it in there, because all these people who would buy your product, they're going to go home and they're going to consume the next great Tom Cruise Mission Impossible. You know, they're going to enjoy that. Or they love the kind of garbage Nick Cage action film. So let's give them some entertainment along with our messaging. And we think the messaging is going to go a lot further. And that's because we're mercenaries. We're mercenary artists, right? You know, pay you to do something like, hey, jump when I say jump and sit when I say sit. But at the same time, we do want to be artists. We want to do things our own way. We want to tell stories in ways that we want to consume them and maybe try and do something we haven't seen before, if that's even possible. So all those things that you were saying you love kind of about the medium, those are some of the selling points that we pitch.
Good to know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was, and that's great to hear. I was watching the other day, your guys is on your YouTube, like your reel from not this most recent one, but one of the ones before it. And it's got the background, like the audio is some older guy talking about making commercials exciting.
FCC. Yeah.
It's from the president of the FCC from like the 60s, I think.
Yeah. And I thought, you know, like, just like, that's an first off, great choice. But I was like, that's such an awesome speech. Cause yeah, I mean, like, there's going to be commercials for everything forever. So they don't have, well, I don't see why. And that's what I like. That's why I like what you guys do. Cause it's like, why make them boring?
Yeah. Yeah. No one's going to like that. I mean, and certainly people, I think the difference too is like, there's people who don't know how to do it any other way. They're just like, this is how I do stuff. All right. And that's fine. Like we need some level of people who can do that. Like we need talented people at every stage, but that's not what we're going to do. And nor would we ever do anything like that. You know, we're going to always consider how to push the boundaries and do something different. And that's what I saw when I was younger. And that's what I wanted to do because it was unique, striving for this creative difference in a world of a lot of sameness.
Right. Yeah. Like a shining light kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And have some fun along the way, like you said.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, let me see. Let me do this right. Now it's time for
The Spills and the Why.
That's right. That's right. We have a stinger because We can make stingers. We can do all the things. So we'll do this. We'll go first.
Whose kids' voices are those?
That's one of my daughters. I just had her loop it a couple times.
Got it.
She should be a little kid model. She's the cutest. And she listens to directions so well. We're going to play Two Truths and a Lie, where each of us are going to tell three different stories, and everyone else has to guess what the lie is, revealing the truths, or vice versa, guess the truths, revealing the lie. And if you're at home and watching, you're live, we're live, let us know your guesses. And if you guess correctly, we'll even send you some sweet swag like these Let's Make Awesome coasters or just the straight up chevron. You know, also if you use Plex Media Server, it's very similar. So you can promote them as well. So we'll start with us. If you haven't, we told you before, somebody told you, maybe Hannah told you, or mm-hmm. somebody told you before at dinner or lunch that we were going to do this. So you might have thought of it. If not, you have.
Well, I didn't realize it was stories. I thought it was just statements. So
yeah, I mean, it's statements. That's kind of what it starts with. And then we may ask deeper questions.
Sounds good.
John, have you thought of yours yet? Okay. I've got mine. That sounds like no. So I'll go first since no one else is ready. So I can hyperextend both of my thumbs. I can hyperextend my jaw. And I can hyperextend my knees. So I'm taking a little different route. I've told a lot of stories. Yeah, go ahead.
So what does it mean to hyperextend?
To hyperextend, to move beyond the typical motion.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever get your jaw stuck?
Not anytime recently.
Does it hurt?
My jaw?
Yeah.
Just in general, no.
And then I try not to hyperextend it. So I don't know that. I was going to say, even when I was little, before I knew it was a bad thing, I don't think it ever really hurt.
It never hurt. It did.
I would get headaches.
How did you find out you could hyperextend your jaw?
The doctor was testing it because I was getting headaches and I was at the dentist. I was at the dentist, yeah. And I like this line of questioning. talking about headaches, and then they asked me, you know, about my jaw, had me open it, saw me hyperextend it.
So you were at the dentist because you were getting headaches?
I don't know. It was so long ago. Like, I was at the dentist, and I remember they were the ones who figured it out. And I also remember that I was getting headaches. So I don't know what order things happened in.
All right. I've heard enough about the jaw. I would like to hear about the thumbs now. How did you find out about the thumbs?
Just kind of like a carnival trick that I could do that other kids couldn't. So used to just do it a lot as a kid.
Okay.
Be like, hey, look what I can do.
And then how about your knee? How'd you find that out?
Sports. So, what's you sport? Know, yeah. Well, it kind of exacerbated in swimming, but,
swimming, it's a very low impact sport.
It's very low impact, but I have to be careful when I'm using flippers because my knee will hyperextend. So it puts too much pressure on my hyperextended knee. But it was actually, I think it was basketball in gym class maybe. And I landed on it wrong because they easily hyperextend.
Interesting. I think I know my answer. I don't know about, how about you, John?
Yeah. We're all answering?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
I'm going with the knees. Who the hell hyperextends their knees? What are you, an ostrich?
I'm also going to go with the knees.
I cannot hyperextend my knees. My oldest daughter can. My oldest daughter can. It's very easy to do.
What that is in my head.
So essentially, it's just like, you know, going past straight, right? So
you can do that.
I can't really do it anymore with my thumb. Like, I don't know if you can see how it comes in. Like it shouldn't bend that way. Uh-huh. Same thing with my jaw. Like there's a point that it pops. I don't really do it anymore, but yeah. And then my daughter, she can hyperextend her knees. So she's got to be real careful when she's dancing.
Right.
Yeah. It's a thing. So you guys both win. Or I'm just terrible at this game. Who knows? Yeah. All right, Johnny, you're up.
All right. This is not stuff that happened to me.
Ooh, wait. You can guess at home, too. Emily thought the thumbs was a lie. Sorry, Emily.
Sorry, Emily.
I'm a special kind of weird.
This is not stuff that happened to me. It's stuff I did to other people.
Ooh.
Menacing.
One time I hyperextended my sister's thumb. Another time I gave my dog Wally a concussion.
Ooh.
And another time I broke some kid's ankle at soccer practice.
Oh.
How'd you break the ankle?
I was running for a ball and I swung to kick it and he had his foot in the way and he just went down.
When was this?
What kind of break was it? Yeah.
It was a pretty big bad break. This was like,
yeah. And when was it?
Eighth grade, freshman year.
Okay.
Oh, I lost my ears.
What happened? Well, what about, how'd you concuss your dog, Wally?
Well, I didn't really do it. He slammed into a screen door.
Okay.
A screen door at our patio. And he ran full speed into it.
Wave if my audio is back.
We can hear you, Ryan.
You can't hear me.
Talking all over us.
You can hear me now.
We can hear you.
I can see it.
Yes.
Okay. I can't hear you. I don't know what the heck's going on. Sorry. You continue until I can hear you.
So you said your dog ran into a screen door.
He ran into our screen door. He just blew up the screen door, and then he got a concussion.
I don't think you could get a concussion from running into a screen door. Well, that's interesting.
He hasn't snowboarded like you, I guess.
I'm back. Somehow my thing got muted.
Where? And then how'd you hyperextend your sister's thumb?
We were watching TV after school, and she made me mad. She was bothering me. I told her to stop, and then she didn't. And I just grabbed her hand, and I just went like that. And it went further than I thought it would.
Did you already answer how you gave your dog a concussion?
I said, well, actually, I didn't. He concussed himself when he blew up our screen door. He ran into our screen door.
When he ran into your fist.
This is a really tricky one, actually.
That may have happened.
They all seem like lies to me.
I don't share that. I thought you were going the other way, Tyler. I thought you'd be like, yeah, they all sound, you sound like a truthful person.
No, they all sound like
everything is
utter lies. Yeah. But I have my answer.
I would kind of gravitate towards the thumb because it sounds so ridiculous that you would grab her and do that. But that would be a great story. That'd be a great way to trick people.
Right. Well, and it's too convenient that it's a hyperextension story right mm-hmm. after all of these hyperextended talk.
Yeah. Well, if people have watched before, they'll know that that's my trick. I tried to come up with a very similar story to what John says. It's very confusing, though.
Super confusing.
Yeah. So, and then you punched a dog in the head. And what was the third one? The first one that we started discussing?
I broke.
Oh, you broke an ankle. It's yeah. Okay. Tyler, what's your guess?
I think it's the dog.
You think it's the dog. Emily thinks it's the dog. The dog concussed himself. I feel like that's a thing the dog would do. I'm going to say the thumb. That's my guess.
Congratulations, Tyler and Emily. You are the winners of this round.
Get at this.
He did not get a concussion. He's just an idiot. He did break the screen door. And I did hyperextend my sister's thumb. I knew I was going to use it as soon as I heard your stories, Ryan, because it would be a perfect throw off. you know, how siblings can, they know how to press buttons, you know, and I just grabbed her hand and I really just grabbed her hand and kind of like pulled it or whatever, but I hyperextended her thumb. She let out a blood curdling scream. We had to go to the doctor. She had a softball tournament that weekend to play in. And the punishment for me was I had to go to the softball tournament and sit there at every game and watch her pitch. And then after pitching, reach down and scoop up a right-handed glove like Louis the One-Armed Wonder and play this tournament with one
hand. That's pretty awesome. Wow.
Arm and a thing.
That's awesome.
That was a punishment that I remember.
That's so awesome of Liz. That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, John, it's 2:15. Do you have to leave or
I got turn
for Tyler?
We'll find Luke.
All right, we'll still do Tyler.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks, John. We'll catch you next time.
Bye, John.
There it is.
I thought
of mine. Then there were two. Okay, Tyler.
Mine are pretty broad, so.
All right.
What was I going to say? All right.
That's perfect. Lie.
I have a twin. I have lived in a different country. And I play guitar.
Ooh. So the guitar seems like innocuous. Like that seems like a, you know, very easily could be. The twin, that's great. We clearly do not know about your family. We should ask more questions about your family. And then you've lived in another country. Let's see. You didn't talk anything about... So you made films with a friends in high school. You never said anything about a sibling. So that sounds suspicious. Who was born first?
She was born first.
What's her name?
Samantha.
So what's her middle name?
Christiane. The name of my grandmother.
Christiane? Or did you
Christiane.
Just...
Christiane. It's French.
Okay. Let's see. Where did she go to school?
Vancouver.
Vancouver.
What? British Columbia. University of British Columbia.
University of British Columbia. Okay. All right. What country do you live in?
England.
What city?
London. It's a small city over there.
What was the street that you were on?
Howitt Park.
Howitt Park. It's like on the border of could be possible. Also sounds ridiculous. Like you're just coming up out of your butt with it. And then what was the third one?
I play guitar.
Play guitar. Favorite song to strum on the guitar?
Wonderwall.
Not Free Bird?
No. I wish.
Let's see. Do you play electric?
Yeah, I have a Fender.
Okay. You do have quick answers. I'm still a little suspicious of the twin. Cause you just started kind of wide. You're like Vancouver, British Columbia, University of British Columbia. You just kind of started kind of wide with that.
Interesting.
When's she graduating?
She is graduating. She's doing a co-op there. So 2 years, because I'm graduating a year early and she's graduating a year late.
That sounds legit. Let's see. Country. Emily thinks the guitar is a lie. Jeez. I'm going to have to go with Emily on this one because the other two just... You had some good, quick answers. It felt good. Yeah, you lived in London. I don't know. My backup is you've lived overseas, but I'm going to say guitar.
The guitar is the lie.
And I really got it.
Nice. Yeah, that was good. It was interesting, like very specific, unique details. And you still had the fender. Like John might have been able to grill you more on that.
Yeah. I lucked out on that.
Yeah. And you saw all the guitars.
You didn't ask me
he's not questions buying
for the guitar. So
what's that? Yeah.
You didn't ask me questions.
Yeah, I was like, how do you ask questions about somebody's capability to play? Like, name your five chords.
G, A, B, C, E.
Kind of.
I guess, yeah, I could have
told you. Yeah. Like G, C, D, A. Those would probably be your first four.
Yeah. F.
I could have done it, but I used Emily's skills.
Emily was,
that's what it's about.
Two for three for Emily.
So. Two for three. And let's see, you were two for two. So we'll give you some of these. You can take some of these home. If you leave us and go to LA, you'll take these with, and you can always remember us. So,
right.
That's great. That's what we got for today. Anything else you wanted to say or plug? Do you want to plug your website or anything else?
I mean, my website's tylercordicas.com, or just cordicas.com actually. But thank you for a great first week. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, you just wait till week two.
That's when the real hazing starts.
We call that hell week. Yeah. All right. So check that out down over there, cordicas.com. This is Tyler. I'm Ryan. I got some graphics here too that I got to throw up. Where is it? There it is. Check out the podcast. If you're not listening to this yet, you should check it out over there. We're actually like 40, 50 episodes behind in the podcast. So it's kind of like it's a trip through time back 2 years ago. So we have all of these that we filmed, the early happy hours that we're now turning into podcasts. So those are coming out every Saturday. So tune in, letsbackflip.com, Let's Backflip Show, or wherever podcasts are sold. That's where we are. Check that out. That's what I got. Thanks for hanging, Tyler. It was fun.
Thanks for having me.
We just started getting into it. So next time we'll really, get below that first onion layer, as it were.
Good.
All right, cool. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Emily. See you guys next time. Bye.